Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk about McGowan now with a guy who was an all-star when he was an owner. It's Sean Estes. Of course, you know him very well as a Giants broadcaster now. And Sean, first of all, sorry about Peter McGowan. When I say the name, what are maybe a couple things that just pop into your head right away?
Well, when you say his name, well, a lot of things pop into my head. He was obviously the president and managing partner of the club when I became a Giant. So he was the first one the first owner that I met, and then him and his wife Debbie lived in the city. I always lived in the city as well. In the off season, one of the only players, Bill Miller and I were the only two players that lived in San Francisco in the winter when the team was in Candlestick. And so he'd invite me out to dinner once in a while with his wife Debbie, and I got to become pretty good friends with Peter and Debbie. And then he was the figure. You know, he was the guy that I saw on a day-to-day basis as a Giant. He was always really good to me, really good to my family. Then I got to know a little bit of the history, just by being a Giant, of how important he was, keeping the club in San Francisco, being so instrumental in that, just the fact that, he loved the Giants. And then, moving forward, when he stepped down as managing partner in 2008, then creating the Wall of Fame, which is even more significant to me because the criteria that he set allowed me to get on the Wall of Fame. I saw him last year, and I had a nice conversation with him, and he's always been very gracious to me, and just always, he's always asks, personal questions, things, because we did have a history together. So every time I'd see him, when we talk about old stories and we talk about kids and stuff like that. So it was more than just him being an owner of the Giants, and it was more of a friendship that I had with him. And then obviously, owe a lot to him based on the fact that now I got my face on the side of a wall forever. As long as that ballpark's around, and what a great job they did with that ballpark to be, because that thing's going to stand the test of time. It's going to be around forever. So he was huge. He was a big part of that. And so it's a sad day. I was looking forward to him being honored. I think it was February 9th. It was in a couple of weeks that he was going to be honored, and I was looking forward to hearing him speak at that, to be on only guy on the wall that wasn't a player, mm-hmm. former player. So, it's sad. I mean, the timing is obviously terrible because, that would have been a pretty cool thing to see him on Third and King on February 9th. But unfortunately, he left too soon, and my condolences obviously go out to his family and especially Debbie.
Hey, Sean, some people get involved in ownership of sports teams, just for the status of it, just to say they're an owner. And some of them will do it because they want to be a super fan and they want to hang out in the clubhouse and, tell people that they rubbed elbows with the superstars that they get cheered for. Where did Peter fall into that? Because I know he was a big baseball fan, but I never got the sense that he was in it to be a super fan.
No. I mean, I guess, if you want to go on one end of the spectrum, and not to say that he's a bad owner, but he's probably more of a super fan, but like guys love playing there, is Mark Cuban with Dallas. And then you, on the other side of things, you have like a Charles Johnson, you know, who I had never seen or met as a Giant. Just he just wanted to be an investor in the team, and he obviously had a big part in keeping the team in San Francisco, but never saw him. So he just wanted to be one of those guys that was not around, not seen. It was more probably of an investment for him. But Peter had way more invested in that team, more than just money. He had his heart invested with the San Francisco Giants, because, you know, he grew up in New York, and he grew up a New York Giant fan. So he saw the transition from New York, from the Giants moving from New York to San Francisco. So then he ends up living in San Francisco, and that's his team, you know. So he definitely, he loved the Giants. He really did. He loved the players. He loved what the organization stood for. And I think a lot of what, you know, he carried on a great tradition. I mean, he really did. And you know, we talk about, I still talk about to people about, you know, why do you still work for the Giants, or, you know, where's the connection there? Obviously I played there, but it really does. It always felt like a family to me, and they really did a great job of making you feel, welcome, important. They made you feel that your family was taken care of. They made you feel like that you were part of the city, part of the culture, part of everything, even if you were there for a year. And Peter had a lot to do with that. You know, he lived in the city, so, you know, he'd invite players to go out to dinner, and he'd take them out to dinner and show them the city, show them the good spots to go eat. But the more important, he just wanted you to feel at home. Because he knew how much he loved San Francisco, and he knew how much he loved this organization, the Giants. So, yeah, I would say he probably fit kind of right in the middle, you know, between super fan and silent investor. I think is kind of the sweet spot, to be honest with you, for an owner.
A couple more questions for former Giants All-Star pitcher Sean Estes. I remember, I mean, you're a guy that went from Candlestick to Pac Bell Park. You saw the transition, and if memory serves, I remember they did a thing where you were on the roof of the old building at 3rd and King, and didn't you throw some underhand to Barry and he hit it in the water? It's like, this is what it's going to look like when he hits him in the water. Didn't you do that?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the running joke, you know, is that I like to ask people, you know, who hit the first home run at Pac Bell Park at the time, and everybody's, well, it was someone from the Dodgers, maybe, I can't remember.
Kevin Elster,
yeah. I think he hit three that day.
Right.
And I said, no, it was actually Barry Bonds that hit it, and he hit it off of me in the off season that year, because, you know, they were doing a promotional thing, and they had TV out there, and yeah, I served one up to Barry and hit one into McCovey Cove. But yeah, that was the thing, is that I right away just like felt a connection with San Francisco, the city of San Francisco. I mean, back in the day when we played in Candlestick, players didn't live in the city. They went home. They didn't live in the city. You know, most of the guys, even during the season, would live on the peninsula. You know, they had families. They lived down in Foster City or Burlingame, whatever, just based on for the commute. But I moved into the city like the first year I got called up, and I think that Peter appreciated that. You know, I think he did, because he did see that there wasn't a lot of players that stuck around for one reason or another. But as soon as that new ballpark came in and the players started to really see what the city was all about and they started to appreciate San Francisco, you saw more guys sticking around in San Francisco, or at least living in the city. I mean, I know a lot of guys live in the East Bay now, but there's still a bunch of guys that live in the city, and every one of them will tell you that they really enjoy their time during the season. That's even if they leave somewhere else in the winter. But I did it back in the day when we were playing in Candlestick, because I just really, really liked it. So I think Peter appreciated that, and he would always reach out whenever there was something Giants related and ask me if I'd like to be involved and or have the PR department reach out to me. So I was always willing to do it because I was there. So yeah, I got to be probably a little bit closer than most of the players that played in that era with Peter. I know that Barry and Peter were pretty close as well. So yeah, I know, it's just sad. It really is, because you know, I know that he had had some health issues in the past, and you know, he fought through those, and so, and I haven't really, I didn't know where he stood right now, you know, physically, and obviously he hadn't been doing too well, and but I was just really looking forward to a couple weeks when I was going to be able to hear him speak, but unfortunately we won't be able to do that, and we'll have to honor him in different ways, and he'll still get the plaque, you know, outside of the ballpark, but it would have been nice for him to be able to see that and what that means to the city, to the ballpark, to the players that are actually up there. Because it means a heck of a lot to me. It gave me closure in my career for sure.
Sean, you've been around the team long enough, even though you moved on and played at other places after the Giants. Now you're back, brought into the fold as part of the Giants family. And that's one of the things that I think separates or used to separate the Giants from all the other teams in big league ball. Maybe not all of them, but they do a great job of making sure that people such as yourself feel like they are Giants forever. You hear that phrase "forever Giant," and it's, you know, some people might roll their eyes at it, but it's a real thing, and you are, Sean, a forever Giant. And I feel like Peters, maybe he was the start of that. He insisted on that.
No, you're right, without a doubt. Like I said, he was the guy that was running the ship, you know, when I became a Giant back in 1995, and so that was the culture. And I don't know if it had something to do with before him. I just know that when I got to San Francisco, like I said, I felt an instant connection with it, and I felt that I was family, and I didn't know how long I was going to be a Giant, but, and I played 6 years with San Francisco, but I laid roots down there. They do a great job of honoring past teams and players for their accomplishments. They love the reunions. They love to bring players back and make them feel, you know, part of what they have, because it is good. I mean, trust me, like you said, I've been on a lot of different teams since San Francisco, and there's not one of those teams that I can, and granted, I only spent a year on a lot of those teams, but I was on a couple good teams outside of the Giants, but they don't recognize, you know, they don't recognize their alum. They don't recognize the teams that meant something to the city as well as the Giants do. They do it. They're the best at it. They really are. And I think most players will tell you that they always feel welcome there. Like I said, regardless, they played 2 months on a team that did well, but they'll call everybody. In our 2000 reunion, our 97 reunion, they call everybody. They want everybody that put on a Giant uniform for those years to come back and celebrate together and allow the fans to celebrate with them. So I definitely owe a lot, and that's the biggest reason why I came back and did, and I'm doing what I'm doing in San Francisco. I live in Arizona. I could have just as easy, you know, reached out to Derek Call, the president of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and try to, you know, start my broadcasting career here. But I just felt that just felt right. You know, unfortunately, NBC gave me a job, and now I'm going to be doing some games with the Giants this year. So I don't know. It felt right, and Peter was a big part of that.
That's the All-Star, Sean Estes. Sean, thanks for sharing your memories of Peter. Once again, we're sorry for the loss of your friend, and we look forward to your coverage of the Giants and coming on here again throughout the season, buddy.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay, guys. Yeah, good talking to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.